Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Bhakti ki jai, Shri Nitai Gopri Manandi. So tonight we will begin chapter 77 of chapter 10. Chapter is entitled Lord Krishna Slays Shalva. We'll do text 1 to 18. Shukadev Goswami said, after refreshing himself with water, putting on his armor and picking up his bow, Lord Prajumna told his driver, take me back to where the hero Juman is standing. Chandan, would you like to read the purport?
Prajumna was eager to rectify his pretense of his having left the battlefield when his steady driver carried him away unconscious.
Any points?
The Shakyamuni is basically sort of coming into Lord Prajumna where he doesn't continue to treat, he's actually going up and giving a shot, he'll die if he has to, but he'll give it a good challenge.
Good. Any other points?
Even if we do, for some reason, lose our determination, go back and try again. Never, ever give up.
Very good. Tony Robbins would be proud of you. Good. So, for a cultured person, a civilized person, losing one's reputation is worse than death. So, as we mentioned last time, reputation must be maintained under all circumstances. Because if you lose your reputation, basically you've lost almost everything. That's why Krishna says to Arjuna in the second chapter of the Gita, he says, infamy is worse than death. If you lose your reputation, then it's practically worse than being dead, especially in a devotional community. Anywhere it is, but especially in a devotional community. So we must maintain our reputation. Must be very careful to act properly and to speak properly. Now, Prabhupada says in the Nectar of Instruction, the Upadeshamrita, in the introduction, Prabhupada says, it's interesting actually, it always strikes me that Prabhupada says this. He says, the purpose of this book is to bring one from ignorance to passion to goodness. Purpose of the book. Very interesting that Prabhupada would write like that. Because from goodness, then you can go to Shuddha-sattva, or pure goodness. You can't go to pure goodness, the spiritual world, from the mode of passion or the mode of ignorance. These contaminations must be removed. You have to remove lust, anger, and greed. Anger is the mode of ignorance. Lust and greed are the mode of passion. So you have to remove these impurities. Right? So we have to situate ourselves. If we're too much under the influence of passion and ignorance, then we will act and speak in such a way that we will lose our reputation. So therefore, you have to be situated in the mode of goodness. You live your life in the mode of goodness. Because then you'll act properly, you'll speak properly. Otherwise, your consciousness will become contaminated. You will do improper things. You will lose your reputation, and then everyone will lose faith in you. And when people lose faith in you, it takes a lot to win the faith back. It's a lot of work. So that's why Prajumna is so determined to get back on the battlefield. Because for a Kshatriya, infamy is worse than death. To lose the battle is worse than death. And we've heard about the stories of Kshatriyas over the years. Even I heard one Kshatriya, I think one of the Rajputs, like from Rajasthan, the kings, they were attacking one fortress, and the elephant was smashing its head, trying to smash through the gate. But they put big spikes on the gate, so that, you know, because they know the elephants are going to smash, and then the elephant was getting hurt, so... So then the Kshatriya was so determined to break in, then he said, he told the driver, he said, tell the elephant to put me in between himself and the gate. So the elephant picked him up and put him there and smashed through. So then he was protected. So the Kshatriya, to win the battle and break into the fortress, willing to die. It's probably a little bit extreme, but this is the spirit. The spirit is like that. And then we hear stories also where Kshatriyas have left the battlefield, they've come back to their fortress, right? But the wife, the queen, she is there, she tells the soldiers, lock the gate, and she says, go back and die. Either go back and win or go back and die, but you're not coming in. That's Kshatriya spirit. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, a devotee must be like a Kshatriya, like a warrior. If you want to become Krishna conscious, you have to have this spirit. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur actually says that. Devotee must be like a Kshatriya. Because he explains that when you're on the battlefield, arrows will be shot at you. But what does a Kshatriya do? A Kshatriya just breaks the arrow and keeps going. He doesn't even become disturbed. And that is the spirit that it takes. When Maya is smashing us in this material world, have you ever been smashed by Maya? Yeah, some of you. When you get smashed. So when you're getting smashed by Maya, you just stand up and you keep going. In Krishna's service, you don't stop under any circumstances. Just like a few years ago, there was one devotee who was coming to our class here, and then they were having trouble getting their daughter married, and you know, the daughter, they wanted her to get married, and the daughter didn't want to get married. And then the devotee wasn't coming to the classes. I said, why aren't you coming to the classes? The devotee said, I'm in too much anxiety because my daughter won't get married. And I said, what sort of an excuse is that? If your daughter gets married, it doesn't get wrong. It doesn't mean you stop hearing the Bhagavatam. Even there was one king, and he was so attached to hearing the Bhagavatam. He ran his kingdom so perfectly that he got all of the other ministers to run the kingdom, and he would just sit and listen to the Bhagavatam. And then the treasury of the king was on fire, and everything was being burnt. So the minister ran in, and he came to the king, and he whispered in his ear, he said, your treasury is getting burnt. And the king was so attached to hear the Bhagavatam, he just said to the minister, he said, do this, 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 and this, go. Right? So setting off, and he just kept listening to the Bhagavatam. A devotee has to be like that. We can't just be distracted all the time. So Pradyumna, he just wants to get back on the battlefield. Because he doesn't want his reputation lost. So as devotees, we have to be careful. No, don't lose your reputation. That's because it's very difficult. If you do, then it becomes very difficult. Any points?
So these suicide bombers, are they some kind of kshatriya or...
Which one?
Suicide bombers.
Suicide bombers? No, that's not Kshatriya. Kshatriya means you are fight like equal. But that's not equal. Yeah, I just blow you up, that's not equal. You didn't have any chance, so that's not equal. Yeah, that's demoniac to do like that. That's motive ignorance, that's not.
But they are prepared to die for their cause.
But motive ignorance, the way they do it. Not on a battlefield where it's equal and the other person has a chance. That's why when they invented gunpowder, it changed history. That's when Kshatriyas stop fighting in battles, basically. Because if you can shoot something, you can be a Shudra. If you've got a gun, you just go boom, like, they're dead. You can't, but Kshatriya is like, you know, shows prowess. So that's when the Kshatriya Dharma was lost. Any other points? In Prajumna's absence, Juman had been devastating his army, but now Prajumna counterattacked Juman and smiling pierced him with 8 Naracha arrows.
Sri Vishwanatha Chakravarti comments that Prajumna challenged Juman, saying, "Now see if you can strike me." After saying this, and allowing Juman to shoot his weapons, Prajumna released his own deadly arrows.
Any points?
What does the Naracha mean?
8 Naracha arrows. The
iron, but is there anything other than just the iron?
It says special arrows made of iron. That's all I know. I don't know any detail. So, any other point?
Why did he wait till Juman released his arrows? Is that etiquette?
No, it's not etiquette. It's heroism. It's like, you know, if there's a fight going on, and you just stand there, you say, "Come on, hit me," and they hit you, and you just take it, and then you hit them back. Muhammad Ali used to do that. Have you heard of Muhammad Ali? Yes. He was the greatest that ever lived, the greatest fighter, boxer. Like that. Bhaktivedanta Swami used to preach to him. That. You're a very special person, actually, in many ways. Very special person, in many ways. He used to do that with his opponents. They would, and then he'd say to them, "Is that all you've got?" And then he'd again, he'd say, "Is that all you've got?" Like that. He's a very powerful, powerful person. So, the point is that we should not boast our deeds with our words if we cannot do the thing. A Kshatriya does not do like that. And a devotee should not do like that. You shouldn't say, "Oh, I will do this, 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 and this," unless you can actually do it. It's been said early in the Bhagavatam, better just to act, not to speak. Don't tell everyone what you're going to do, just go and do it. Otherwise, you tell everyone what you're going to do and you can't do it, then everyone loses faith. So there's no use saying, "Oh, I will do this, I will do that." Just do it and then everyone will have faith. So real Kshatriya, like Pradyumna, he will speak with his deeds. He's not going to speak with his words. And he's so powerful that he stands there and he allows the opponent to shoot first. That's how powerful these personalities were. It's like in the Mahabharata. Have you heard of the Mahabharata?
Yes. Yeah.
In the Mahabharata, the Pandavas, they tried to kill them in the house of Lak. So when they tried to kill them, they escaped. There was a tunnel. Vidura. Everyone, they knew. As soon as Yudhishthira walked in to the house, Vidura actually mentioned it to him before he got there. But as soon as Yudhishthira walked in, he looked at the place, he said, "This place is built to go up in flames." He could just see what they were trying to do. But he just acted like everything was normal. But then when the fire was set, then he escaped through a tunnel. And then when they got out, Bhimasen, he picked them all up, 5 of them. But he put 2 on his legs and then held 2 like that and 1 on the back. And then he just ran for miles and miles and miles to escape away. And then they had to hide for some time. So it says in the Mahabharata, it says one night they were going to a river. They'd been walking all day and they came to a river. It got dark. And then it says in the Shastra, you should not do parikram at night, like if you're in the Holy Dharma or something like that, because this is a time when, you know, Krishna may be performing pastimes. Or it also says that, you know, other entities may come at night time and they perform their pastimes. So there were some Gandharvas, Gandharva king, and he was in the river and he was enjoying with the apsaras. And then Arjuna was in the front with a torch, like a stick with fire. So he had the torch, he's walking. And then he's walking towards the river, and then the Gandharva said, "Who is this?" And he said, "I am Arjuna." And he said, "Why are human beings coming to the place where the Gandharvas enjoy at night?" And he took his bow and he fired arrows at Arjuna. So, you know, what's going to happen to you? If a Gandharva shoots an arrow at you, what will you do?
Duck.
Run.
Yeah, you'll die. You just go straight through. It's like, you know, a demigod firing an arrow. You haven't got a hope. You can duck or run, but you're dead. So Arjuna, he just had the torch, and they shot the arrows at him with the torch. Just knocked the arrows out of the way. And then the Gandharva said, "You must be Arjuna." He said, no ordinary person could do this. He said, "Yes, I'm Arjuna." And then they made an alliance. They became friends. So this is the point. Don't say that you're going to do something unless you can do it. And show your prowess by actions, not by words. Words aren't very impressive. I'll do this. Not very impressive. Any points? With four of these arrows, he struck Juman's four horses. With one arrow, his driver. With two more arrows, his bow and chariot flag. And with the last arrow, Juman's head. Gada, Satyaki, Samba, and others began killing Shalva's army. And thus, all the soldiers inside the airship began falling into the ocean, their necks severed. Bhagavatam is very graphic sometimes. Do you like it?
Beautiful.
Yeah. Very graphic sometimes. As the Yadus and Shalva's followers thus went on attacking one another, the tumultuous, fearsome battle continued for 27 days and nights. This is called Navaratri. What does Navaratri mean?
Nine nights.
So this is 3 times 9. 27. So 3, 9, 18. 27. 3 times 9 is 27.
Yes.
Krishna Chakravarti Thakur says that. So it means that these battles, they would last a long time. How long was it when Krishna fought with Jambavan?
20 minutes.
Yeah, I think it was 28. Yeah, something like 21, 28. Like, doesn't really matter. I mean, 20. That's a long time. You know. Yeah, that's the other one I was just about to mention. Bhima and Jarasandha, how long was that? I think the same thing. 28, from memory. How long is Kurukshetra? 18. Yeah. We can't do anything for more than about 2 or 3 days. This is like going to work every day for 18 days straight. Or 27 days straight. How would you feel? You had to go to work every day, 27 days. Right? It's exhausting, right? That's what they're doing. Like 27 days. You have to turn up on the battlefield again. Yeah. Yeah, Kurukshetra, they wouldn't fight at night. They would stop. This one it doesn't mention. I don't know if Shelva stopped in the night time or what happened. But. So the point is, as a devotee, we have to be in it for the long haul. It means, you know what this means, long haul? It's a devotional service is a marathon, right? It's not something which we do for a few days or a few weeks or a few months or like that. It's a long thing, right? And it can be tiring. Just going on and on and on, year after year after year. Right? You sometimes get tired in life. Oh, yeah, one person.
Actually, I was listening to a lecture today on the devotee from Chabali Temple, and he was mentioning about a devotee couple who actually used to wake up every day in the morning, 2:30 in the morning, finish the 16 rounds before Mangalarati, and then they continue their work, whatever they do. But they did it for 11 months only. The 12th month, they went on a holiday. They would not do anything. Just go holiday, recharge themselves, and then come back again.
Hmm. Yeah, you have to do that. You have to do a holiday. So it says in Manu Samhita, you have to take breaks regularly to sustain yourself. But the point is, with devotional service, you have to keep going. And we all feel exhausted sometimes, but you have to keep going. And it's important actually to have breaks on a regular basis. Manu Samhita, who is Manu?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the father of mankind. He's the one who created all of us. So Manu says, one day a week should be a day of rest. Do you have one day a week off? Where you just rest?
Yes.
You should, Manu says. You should do it. Right? You'll be much more effective on the other days. Just like we said in Sweden, now everyone works from 9 till 3. Yeah, in Australia, we all work from 8 till 6. Yeah, well, it's supposed to be 9 to 5, but it's becoming longer now. So 9 till 3, everyone's more effective. Yeah? Don't push everyone so much. Many businesses in London, now they're saying to their employees, if you can do all your work in 4 days, you can have an extra day off. Right? And everyone's much more effective. And they work much harder. Wouldn't it be nice if you only had to work 4 days?
Yeah.
It'd be nice.
10 hours per day for 4 days or 8 hours per day, 5 days.
Yeah, optional. Yeah, I mean, working out however they're going to do it, but you know, there's different ways of doing this. But Manu Samhita says one day off, and then it says every year, 1 month off. It says that in Manu Samhita. Every year you should have 1 month rest. And then Manu Samhita says, every 7 years you should have 1 year off. Right? I've never done that one, but sounds very appealing. 1 year, just go traveling, go to different holy places, spend 1 year on Paragon, then come back. It'd be very enlightening. Right? So the point is devotional service, you have to be committed for a long, long period of time. You see, I know many devotees. I know many who have stuck at Krishna consciousness very seriously, but I know many who have eased off over the years. Right? It's a long term. You have to be committed for the long term. And Maya will fight you very ferociously to try to make you exhausted. You know, a lot of the time I'm exhausted. That's just the way life is. You know, too much service. Like at the farm this weekend, we had a retreat. You know, then we have to look after the people, make sure they get fed 3 times a day, and then do kirtan with them and satsang, and then, you know, just make sure everything's running according to schedule. At the end, I'm exhausted. You know, just that's just life. It's like that. But, you know, somehow you have to work out to get your balance so that you can continue for the long term. You always have to think, I want to be a devotee, you know, for another 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. You know. So you have to have that kind of vision. So these devotees, they were ready to fight for 27 days non-stop. That's intense. That's very... Yeah. But Prabhupada said, we want Arjuna or no one. Prabhupada said that. We want Arjuna or no one. Devotees should be like Arjuna. Right? Ready to fight. Or else, go home. Go and become a Buddhist. Any points? What is better, Buddhism or Krishna consciousness? Yeah, good.
After coming back from India, I lost hope in life. Looking at my grandmother, she is 82 years old. She completely forgot everyone. She lost her mind.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's working, she can eat and all, but she forgot everyone.
Mm.
And she don't know what she is doing. She is living such a pathetic life.
Mm-hmm.
I lost hope not because she has become old, but looking at her condition, being a devotee, when you know if we have to live for a longer, because of the lifestyle that we have, we live for a longer time. How a devotee would cope up in a situation like that when someone loses their mind and
us or someone else?
Us.
If we did,
case,
if we
go through such a
if we lose our mind,
trauma and all the things that we are going through,
and we forget everything.
Yes.
Dementia. Yeah, dementia. Dementia is now, I heard recently, it's the second biggest killer in Australia. I heard that recently. I think that's an accurate view. People are, you know, getting dementia and dying. It's becoming more and more common. So, Krishna said, or it is said in the Ishopanishad, if you cannot remember Krishna at the time of death, he will not forget you. So if you're a devotee, there's one devotee, Mataji, I don't know if she's left her body now, but she was alive a few years ago, she was 95, and she had dementia, like she could not remember people or things or like that. But she used to, her service was, Prabhupada used to speak on the dictaphone, and then they would take the tapes, and they would mail it to her, and she was the one who typed it all. So she did a lot of service for Prabhupada. But then when she got old, then everything disappeared. But then, because she did so much service, then even if she cannot remember Krishna, Krishna will not forget her. So it's like...
What about materialism? If they are materialists, they are not devotees, they are not connected to Iskandar.
If they're connected to you, if you're a devotee, and they're connected to you, they get benefit. That's all.
From outside of being a devotee, what we can do is like souls, you know, what's so on.
Give them prasadam, give them kirtan. That's all. Even this Mataji, she lost her memory. She couldn't remember people. But she was living in an old people's home. And when they, once a day, they, all the old people would come together and someone would play piano and they would all sing. And when it was her time to sing, she would chant the Maha Mantra. But she couldn't remember, like, devotees. Devotees would come to visit her, but she couldn't remember who they were or anything. But she would chant the Maha Mantra. It was deep in the consciousness. And she'd get all the other old people to chant also. Any other points?
Oh, I always tell my kids if I ever lose my mind or I'm dying in the hospital to just say the Maha Mantra over and over again or play a tape. Because... even if I don't understand it, at least I'm hearing it. So maybe that lady with dementia, they could just play a tape of the Maha Mantra all the time in the background.
Mm.
Is that offensive though, if she doesn't understand? Is there a possibility of being an offense?
No. Okay. Invited by Yudhishthira, the son of Dharma, Lord Krishna had gone to Indraprastha. Now that the Rajasuya sacrifice had been completed and Shishupal killed, the Lord began to see inauspicious omens. So he took leave of the Kuru elders and the great sages and also of Prita and her sons and returned to Dwarka. So there's a Vedic science of understanding inauspicious omens. Do you know any of the signs? The inauspicious things. When something is inauspicious, sometimes you see something that's inauspicious.
Beauties are crying.
Yeah, that's a very inauspicious thing. I never saw it, but that's very inauspicious. The only one I really kind of know well is the different parts of the body.
Shivering.
Yeah, if it twitches, the eyes or any part of the body. So the left side for the men is inauspicious, the right side is auspicious, for the women it's the opposite. Right is inauspicious, left is auspicious. So that happens to me semi-regularly. you know, like something will twitch. You know, when I'm saying something or something to him, I'll think, oh, this is not auspicious, or this is auspicious. Or something like that. But there's a whole system, there's a whole science. The crows, you know, when the crows come, then if they land in particular places or they do particular things, it can be auspicious or inauspicious. So if you know the science, you can understand. If the crow pecks on your shadow, it means you will die soon. Just so you know. If it happens, then you know. You haven't got long to go. So if different things, I don't know the science, but if you know it, then.
When Kamsa is about to be killed, I think he hears mosquitoes non-stop in his ear. And he sees himself dressed in white.
Yeah, so these are like inauspicious omens. Like that, so. Yeah, there's the whole science. Unfortunately, I don't know the science. You could look it up.
What about cat crossing your path left to right?
I think it's possibly inauspicious. At least in the West, they say that is inauspicious. I don't know in the Vedas what it says. But in the West, it says it's inauspicious. If the cat goes across them. The Lord said to himself, because I have come here with my respected elder brother, kings, partial to Shishupal, may well be attacking my capital city. So Vishnuchakravarti Thakur says that Krishna makes special reference to Lord Balaram and calls him the older, like his elder brother, like that. Lord Balaram's position is very special. Lord Balaram is the original spiritual master. He is the original guru. And Krishna offers great respect to Lord Balaram. So Krishna understands that because him and Balaram are both absent, then the enemies are planning to attack. Krishna is so intelligent. He sees Unas pushes omens, and then he thinks, this is what an intelligent person does. Then he thinks, you know, my enemies must be attacking Dwarka at this point in time because both Balaram and myself are not present. And now I'm seeing, so he works out what's happening. And he heads straight back to Dwarka. Shukadeva Goswami continued, after he arrived at Dwarka and saw how his people were threatened with destruction, and also saw Shalva and his Solva airship, Lord Keshava arranged for the city's defense and then addressed Dwarka as follows. Rasik, you want to read?
Lord Krishna placed Sri Balarama in a strategic position to guard the city, and he also appointed a special guard for Sri Rukmini and other queens inside the palaces. According to Sri Lakshmanatha Chakravarti, by secret route, special soldiers conveyed the queens to safety inside Dwarka.
Any points?
Kshatriya has a duty to protect old people, women. I can't remember the one.
Cows.
A duty there. Cows.
Children.
And children.
And
one more.
Brahmins.
And because they were with him, he took the necessary precautions.
Yeah. Very good. Any other points? So, he puts Balaram in a strategic position to protect the fortress, to protect Dwarka, to protect the holy Dharma. Symbolic in different ways. It describes that you cannot enter the holy Dharma without the permission of Lord Balaram.
Lord Shiva.
Lord Shiva, but in this case, Lord Balaram. In Mayapur, you could say Lord Nityananda Prabhu. You cannot enter these places without the mercy of these great personalities. So, Lord Balaram protects the devotees. He's protecting. And it is said that the guru is the representative of Lord Nityananda, Lord Balaram. Right. So the guru's service is to protect the devotees, deliver them from birth and death. Like it says in the Bhagavatam, do not become a mother, do not become a father, do not become a demigod, do not become a teacher, do not become a guru, do not become an authority, unless you can deliver your dependents from the cycle of birth and death. Otherwise, you can't take the position of authority unless you can deliver. When I was a new devotee, I was driving in the car with my mother. I was listening to one lecture of my Guru Maharaj. My Guru Maharaj said this. Said, if you cannot deliver your children from birth and death, then you are not a mother or a father. And she looked at me like... Yeah. I said, well, that's the truth. That's the position of the authority. They have to deliver. So the guru, that is his position, he protects the devotees. And we must also protect the devotees on behalf of Krishna, on behalf of our guru. That's our seva. You know, the service I try to render, because I don't have so many talents or abilities, but the service I try to render is just to protect Krishna's devotees. Just make sure the devotees are safe and protected, guided properly. Look after the devotees. That should be our main service. Make sure the devotees are safe and protected. And remembering Krishna, that's our duty. Bring all the devotees to Krishna. That's what the guru does. He brings the devotees to Krishna. Pramanda Brahmite, Kona Bhagyavana Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai, Bhakti Lata Beach. Guru, Krishna sends you to Guru, Guru brings you back to Krishna. That's the service. So Lord Balaram is protecting on behalf of Krishna. He's like the Guru, and he's protecting Dwarka. And now Krishna's going to go out on the battlefield. Any points? Lord Krishna said, O driver, quickly take my chariot near Shalva. This lord of Solpa is a powerful magician. Don't let him bewilder you. That's what Maya is like. Prabhupada once said, if I have one criticism of my disciples, it is... Yeah, they do not fear Maya enough. Prabhupada said that. That if I have one criticism of my disciples, they do not fear Maya enough. Maya is very powerful. I was saying that last night. Or this morning, I can't remember. But Maya can take any of us anytime. Easily. Was I saying that last night? Or? Yeah, last night. Easily she can take any of us. Maya is so powerful. Whenever she wants, she can just take you. Take you away from Krishna. Now, Prabhupada said you have to fear Maya. It's like we're devotees, right? We're aspiring to be devotees. Like yesterday was that special day yesterday?
Ekadashi.
Ekadashi. Right? Ekadashi. So we're very fearful. We should not eat grains or... you know, something that might have the grains in it. Just like on Nirjala Kodashi once a year. You know, then I follow Nirjala completely. Just in case, you know, because it says if you do that then you get the benefit of all the other Kodashis. So. Just in case. You know, I don't plan to break a Kodashi. Maybe some spice was there that was mixed. Or... some devotees even do Nirjala every time. Every Kodashi. They do it. Very devoted to Krishna. Every time doing Nijala, Ekadashi. Every Ekadashi, Nijala. A very strong vow. It's good. Makes Krishna very satisfied. So, as it is mentioned here in this verse, be careful of the magician. He might bewilder you. For us, that means Maya. Maya can bewilder us. Be very careful, because Maya might do something to trick you. She's always trying to trick the devotees to make them forget Krishna. So we have to always be cautious. Prabhupada also said another time, he said, if I have one criticism of my devotees, they do not read my books. Prabhupada said that. He said, if I have one criticism of my disciples, they do not read my books. Actually, he said it up here in this room. Different times he said it, but he said it up here as well. And then Prabhupada was, he was saying, making that point, and then he was pretending he was a book distributor on the street, one of his disciples. And Prabhupada said, here, take the book, take the book. And then the person was saying, what is in the book? And the devotee is saying, I don't know, I don't read it, but just take it, take it. What's the use of going on book distribution if you don't know what's in the book? Prabhupada said he wrote the books for his disciples, not just for the non-devotees. It should be for both. We should read them and we should give them to the non-devotees. If you read Prabhupada's books, you'll become enthused and you'll be less likely to fall into Maya. If you don't read Prabhupada's books, then very difficult. So, any points? Okay. Thus ordered, Daruka took command of the Lord's chariot and drove forth. As the chariot entered the battlefield, everyone there, both friend and foe, caught sight of the emblem of Garuda. So Garuda was on Krishna's flag on the chariot. That's Krishna's emblem. Different devotees, different personalities, they have different personalities on their flag. Who does Arjuna have?
Hanuman.
Who does Lord Balaram have?
Palm tree.
Very good. Anyone remember any others? I can't remember. But you know, these emblems there. In the Mahabharata, the Pandavas were in the forest. They went up near the Himalaya, and Bhimasen, he was out searching for food. He was going up the hill, and he was like almost like running up the hill. And Bhimasen apparently was smashing trees and running up. And then halfway up the hill, he got up, and there was a big monkey laying across the path, and he could see the monkey was old. So he said to the monkey, he said, "Please. You're an elderly person, please move aside." The monkey said, "I'm too old, I'm too tired, I cannot move." Bhima said, "Then I will have to step over you, and I cannot do that, that is an offense. You're an elderly person, please move." The monkey said, "You can move my tail." That's Bhima saying. Bhima went to pick up his tail, he couldn't even lift it. And then he just looked and he said, "Hanuman," offered his obeisances. He knew it was Hanuman. And he said, "Please bless us. There's a big battle coming." Hanuman said, "I will be on the flag of Arjuna's chariot. And when Arjuna and Krishna are riding into the battle, I will scream." Like that. Like huge. Like scream. And it said, when Arjuna and Krishna were coming at the soldiers, Hanuman would make big noise, right? And the soldiers, not like the big warriors, but like the soldiers, they would pass stool and urine. Imagine, you know, Hanuman and Arjuna and Krishna coming at you. You're just like, oh. They were so scared. Yeah, Hanuman was so mad. So Garuda is there. So wherever there is Hanuman, wherever there is Garuda, wherever there is Arjuna, the last verse of the Bhagavad Gita, wherever there is Dhananjaya, actually it says Dhanurdhara, Dhanodara and Yogeshwara, remember these two people, and then there will always be victory. Morality, extraordinary power, and opulence. When Shalva, the master of a decimated army, saw Lord Krishna approaching, he hurled his spear at the Lord's charioteer. The spear roared frighteningly as it flew across the battlefield. Shalva's hurtling spear lit up the whole sky like a mighty meteor. But Lord Shaurya tore the great weapon into hundreds of pieces with his arrows. Lord Krishna then pierced Shalva with 16 arrows and struck the Sorba airship with a deluge of arrows as it darted about the sky. Firing his arrows, the Lord appeared like the sun, flooding the heavens with its rays. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur breaks down this verse, this analogy, that he was like the sky, but Lord Krishna's arrows were like fire, and it says that the Lord himself appeared like the sun, flooding the heavens with its rays. Because the sun is all-powerful. Nothing in the universe can is as powerful as the sun, right? It's a constant source of energy. Like anything we make in this world, it runs out. You know, you develop a generator or some machine, eventually it stops. It runs out of energy. The sun never runs out of energy. If you actually meditate on it, it's an incredible thing. Something that powerful, that big, and it never runs out of energy. Just constant heat and light, inexhaustible. Right? Where did that come from? Right? We know it comes from Krishna. Krishna is like that. Krishna is inexhaustible. Never runs out of energy. Right? That's why we want to one day, we hope we get a spiritual body. Spiritual body does not run out of energy. Just like right now, I'm tired. No? But the spiritual body just continues. Unlimited energy. And Krishna, on the battlefield, he's like the sun, which means his energy is just coming from every direction simultaneously. He can fight with everyone almost like simultaneously. No? So they, like the sun's influence just spreads everywhere. It also mentions in the Mahabharata, who was the first general of the Kuru army?
Bhishma.
Then, second was? Drona. Then? Karna. Then?
Ashwatthama.
Then? Yeah, there were five. I can't remember. But. First three. Bhishma, then Drona, then Karna. Right? It said when Karna came out to fight, when he took over the army, he became the general, when Drona was gone and Bhishma was gone. When Karna came out to fight, it said one morning he fought the whole army by himself. Right? He was the son of the
sun
god. So he had inexhaustible energy. And he was so powerful, the whole army, they couldn't even approach him. He was firing so many arrows, he was so powerful, he just drove everyone back. So Krishna obviously is like that. When he's fighting, it's just like everyone is pushed back. This is potency. Shalva then managed to strike Lord Krishna's left arm, which held his bow, Shanga. And amazingly, Shanga fell from his hand. So what do we make of this?
Lila.
Lila Shakti. Just like, do you remember in the seventh canto? Who was fighting with Lord Nisringadev? Hiranyakashipu. So sometimes it is said that Hiranyakashipu, it looked like he was putting Lord Nisringadev into trouble. Right? And in the Bhagavatam it says it was like a cat playing with a mouse. Sometimes the cat lets the mouse get some takes some advantage. But then when he's ready, he just goes, just grabs it. No. Also, you remember when Krishna was fighting with Kaliya? Right? It says that Krishna was wrapped up by Kaliya in his coils for 1 hour. No? Like 48 minutes, 1 hour, like that, he was wrapped up. So it looked like Krishna was in difficulty, but there was no difficulty. So now Krishna in the middle of the fight, and his bow was knocked down. It's just Krishna. He's just playing, that's all. Before he smashes it. Those who witnessed this all cried out in dismay. Then the master of Sopa roared loudly and addressed Lord Janardana. Shalva said, "You fool! Because in our presence you kidnapped the bride of our friend Shishupal, your own cousin, and because you later murdered him in the sacred assembly while he was inattentive, today with my sharp arrows I will send you to the land of no return. Though you think yourself invincible, I will kill you now if you dare stand before me." So once again, many times in the Bhagavatam, Vishnuacharya Thakur says, if you take the Sanskrit the opposite way, he's actually praising Krishna. Shishupala did this, remember? Shishupala was insulting. But if you change the Sanskrit, modify it, right, he's actually giving praises. And if you go back to the pastime of the gopis, right, Krishna was saying certain things, but actually the meanings were exactly the opposite. So it just depends which way you read the Sanskrit, and then you can have a positive or a negative. Shri Krishna Chandra Bhagavan ki jai.